Hey now, welcome to the jungle. We go to our second of 3 hours. I'm Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, they're at halftime. And Cincinnati is up on Iowa 36-31. That game's at halftime. Also in the first half, bracket alert, Alvin. Oklahoma a 9. Up on Mississippi an 8. 29-18. So those are your two games that are going on right now. I'm looking for a telephone call. It's toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Back to the phones in a minute. But we're joined right now by the head basketball coach at Maryland. He is in his eighth season at Maryland. Led the Terps to their fourth NCAA appearance in 5 years. Conference coach of the year in two different conferences. Maryland, 23-10 on the year. They get by Belmont. 79-77, they advance, and they take on LSU tomorrow, 12:10 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Mark Turgeon is my guest. Mark, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How you doing?
Good. Good to visit with you, Mark. So take me back earlier this week when you saw the selection show and you saw the possibility that you might face Belmont in your first game. Knowing how good of a coach Rick Byrd is, knowing how confident they are as a team, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, you're always just so excited to be in it. So we were super thrilled. And then we got to stay on the East Coast. We're down here in Jacksonville, 75 degrees today, so things are good. But I've known Rick for a long time. When I was a young coach at Jacksonville State, he was at Belmont, and we got to know each other. We'd see each other on the road and spend a lot of time with him. So I had a ton of respect for him. They're a heck of a team, even better than I thought they were going to be in person, because we played well yesterday and were very lucky to win. And he just does such a great job, and they play a unique style, and they're really hard to guard. And I told him before the game, I said it was a real thrill for me to coach against him. You know, he's one of the winningest coaches in our game, one of the best coaches our game's ever seen. So it was a big honor for me to coach against Rick yesterday.
Maryland beats Belmont. Mark Turgeon joining us. You know, Mark, you knew it was going to be tough. You knew it was going to be a battle, and sure enough, it was. They got up by 12 in the first half, and they led by 6 at halftime. I'm curious, what was your message to your team during the break?
Well, you know, we missed 6 layups in the first half and probably 7 wide open threes. And I felt really good on being down 6. And we battled a little foul trouble right before half. We made a little run. I told the guys, I said, we're in great shape, fellas. We just got to play better than we played. But we got to do it on the defensive end. And we started the second half with just great energy. Defensively, we were terrific. Went on a 14-0 run and built an 8-point lead. And I felt pretty good at the time. My man Wendler just went crazy on us, making some incredible shots. They're hard to guard. And give them credit. We knew they were going to come back. But then we got down 6 again, Jim, and we really had to fight and battle. And we're just really proud of my group to keep battling and come out on top.
Yeah, I think they showed so much in the way they came back and battled in the second half. Especially, Mark, when you consider you've got the second youngest team in the tournament. So yeah. How'd you go about preparing them for the tournament experience and moments like the end of that game?
Well, you know, I'm hoping for the rookie mentality deal. They don't know any better. They just go out there and play their tails off. And, you know, so only one player that played yesterday has played in an NCAA tournament game. And he probably had, you know, he had an okay game, but he shot the worst for us. He was 3-for-18, Anthony Cowan. The rest of the guys played, you know, shot the ball a little bit better. But I told him after the game, you know, we just tried to stay the course, next play, keep fighting through it. But, you know, after the game, one of the first things I said to him was, how lucky are you guys to be able to play in a game that was so important and such a great college basketball game and to come out on top? I said, this is a day you'll never forget. You should feel very fortunate to be a part of it. It was a great, great environment, just amazing building yesterday. It was just a lot of fun. So it's a day our young guys and our team will never forget.
You know, Mark, to that point, you know the deal, fair or not. There is so much weight put on the NCAA tournament in terms of whether or not it was a successful season. Fair or not, right? So what's it mean to you and to your players to get that win and to move on?
Well, it was huge for us for a couple of reasons. We hadn't won a postseason game for a couple of years. So, you know, they start to talk about the negatives instead of the positives. So we got that behind us, and we were able to get a win. But more importantly, I got 7 of my top 8 are freshmen and sophomores, so this is going to help us moving forward, gives us confidence moving forward to tomorrow's game, and it'll give us confidence moving forward, you know, for the next few years. So it was really a significant moment for us. for us to get that stop there at the end of the game, got a deflection and a steal, and to come out with that win. It's going to do I should do amazing things for our program moving forward.
Mark Turgeon joining us for a few more moments. Mark, I want to make another point, too. Bruno Fernando said after the game, I want to read you this quote. We had to get that one for Coach. I will say it again. He's been through a lot of things for us. He puts a lot on himself. There's a lot of criticism and blame on him for us to be able to get that win, to get the first one out of the way for him. Now we got to be able to focus on the next one. Listen, I know you're not going to make it about you, but what's it mean to you to hear that from him, and how would you describe the bond that you have with this group?
Well, they know I care about them, and they know I try to take all the heat for them. Especially being such a young team. And in today's world, it's sometimes it's just never enough. Even if you have the fourth youngest team in the country, it's never enough. So we love each other. We care about each other. I feel it. I know they're trying hard. But in the end, it was about them. When I walked in the locker room after the game, I usually don't make a fool out of myself too often. But just to see how happy they were, their faces, it was a great day for me just to have such a young team, be a part of such a great moment.
Hey Mark, it might have been somewhat out of character for you, but it's just one of my favorite things. I love it. I love that about the tournament. The shot in the locker room after a win, you came in, your fists were clenched, you were fired up. I could tell how happy you were for the kids. One last thought. You've got that tight turnaround before you face LSU tomorrow. How do you go about approaching today, and what is your number one concern when it comes to LSU?
Well, as coaches, we were up late watching film, obviously, on LSU. I had a guy that's been watching them all week, preparing for them. It's the most athletic team in the country. They make the game look easy. When I was a kid, you play with a Nerf ball. You know, you go up and dunk it on. You have it on the door, and you dunk it. That's the way they look sometimes. They're just super talented. Then I think they got the best point guard in the country. So it's a heck of a challenge for us. We're gonna have to be great defensively. We're gonna have to be great with the ball again. Yesterday we only had 5 turnovers. We're gonna have to really do a great job. They force a ton of turnovers. They're excellent defensively with their length. So, and then rebounding. We've been a good rebounding team all year. They've been a good rebounding team. We have to be a terrific rebounding team tomorrow to give ourselves a chance to win.
Maryland beats Belmont yesterday 79-77. They advance. Next up, they've got LSU. Mark Turgeon is the head basketball coach at Maryland. Mark, I know it's a really busy day. Thanks for making time for the Jungle like you always do, and it's great to have you back.
All right. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
Have a great day, Mark. Thank you. Appreciate you. Love coaches that can come in after a big win, and you know he's got a lot going on today, and still turn it around, come in, get some jungle karma. Speaking of jungle karma, I will get to that later on. Some of you are trying to make something out of nothing, make trouble, say, hey, Rome, how about this? Yeah, right. How about this? How about that? The karma, foolproof, still undefeated. And Maryland with a big win. Really nice for them. All right, checking it out. Scoreboard at halftime. The 7-10 matchup. In the South region, Cincinnati's up on Iowa 36-31. Also right now, Oklahoma and Mississippi, the 9-8 game. Sooners. Here's your bracket alert, Alvy. They're up 15. 36-21. Some other key matchups. One game I'm really looking forward to, UC Irvine. Kansas State, a 13-4 matchup. UC Irvine is a 13 seed with 30 wins. Don't get a lot of respect in the Big West Conference. A lot of you seem to think that they haven't beaten anybody, they don't play anybody, they're coming out of a weak conference, they're going to get exposed. It's not really 30 wins. Oh, it is. It is. 30 wins is 30 wins. Let me tell you something, they're dangerous. That's a dangerous 13. I'm really into that game. Wisconsin, Oregon. I love that game later on. Tough matchup. Badgers are a 5. Oregon's a 12. That game is 1:30 p.m. Pacific. Another awesome matchup. One of those coinky-dink matchups. Arizona State and Buffalo. Nate Oates and Bobby Hurley. That's an 11 versus a 6. Dear Rome, let's get a quick email in here. Rome. Escondido sounds incredible tonight. Everybody should talk to Hawk exclusively in show drops. No real conversations. Just hammer this dude with Alvy's soundboard. Hey, Hawk, do you think you're going to finish the marathon? Well, let's not get into that.
Let's not get into that yet.
Hey, Hawk, when your heart explodes in mile 8, do you want your ashes scattered or do you want them to put you in the ground? Hawk, what's your goal time? And then as soon as he answers, you hit him with LT. Let's go, clones. Make Hawk's night. Not a very good call. You can go ahead and not do that. But then I know you clones. You're going to do what you're going to do. The thing about Escondido tonight is I'm getting a lot of reaction and a lot of hits from the old school clones. In case you missed the show yesterday, a few guys called up and said, hey, Rome, you used to come here a lot back in the day. And mentioned this bar called Pounders. And I said, yeah, you know what? I think I did go there once. And then another guy said, actually, Rome, you went here several times. And the guy remembered the year, and he remembered the night of the week. And said, I was there, Rome. I bought you a beer. This guy said, 1992, Wednesdays. This guy's in. Rome, while we at Team Canada are Team Fitness, we are not Team Idiot. And even though Hawk is technically participating in an act of burning fat, he is doing it in an incredibly moronic and embarrassing way. After his classless response of go to hell to my generous buyout offer of $80 to bail on this farce, I am happy to kick back this weekend and watch Hawk pathetically crap in his little running shorts at mile 9. Signed, Matt in Vancouver. Team Keith. Dude, is Batman running the marathon too? Well, that's a side note that we haven't really covered. So Keith Arnold is also running in the marathon. Adam, go ahead and throw his cans on. Put them up. Put them up. Yeah, they go over your head, over your ears. Bro, is there anybody else besides Keith running in this thing that I need to know about?
Negative. Just Keith and me. I had another friend that dropped out last minute. And I don't know if I should disclose this information, but I'll do it anyway. Alvin DeLauro will be at the finish line.
Why? Your finish line's going to be around the 5-mile mark.
He's supporting a family member that's running.
Really? So one of your friends dropped out. You see, Hawk, it's not that hard. Ring the bell, dude.
I'll ring it at the finish line.
You see it all the time in Hell Week when the Navy SEALs are in BUDS training. There's a bell. It's a big-ass bell. And when they've had enough, they go over and they ring the bell and they put their helmet down. They line their helmets up. Ring the freaking bell, Hawk. Ring the bell.
Some SoCal clones have let me know that they will be on the course with signs for me as I go running by, which I'm really looking forward to.
What do you think they'll say?
Nothing good. You know, I read their tweets and emails all day long, so I'm sure it'll be something horrible that'll crack me up.
Ask the question one more time. Why will you not ring the bell? Your boy did.
I think that my guy tapping out a week in advance of the marathon is one of the softest moves I've ever heard of. He said his knee is hurting, and why wouldn't you just go to a doctor and figure out if you can run that before? That's such a weak move, 1 week to go to bail like that.
Do you know what would be even weaker? You blowing out your Achilles at mile 3.
Yeah, but at least I tried, and I'm also upset with this guy because I bought him a matching tie-dye shirt to run with me, and now that just went to waste.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how much did that shirt cost you?
$20 from a local Fullerton company. No big deal.
Well, that guy couldn't handle that himself. He couldn't buy his own shirt.
He didn't want the shirt, so I said, let me pay for it.
Uh-huh.
And so he had no choice. It became a gift at that point.
So, I mean, like what? Like, hey, man, you can't quit. I bought you a tie-dye shirt. Is that where you're going with that?
Pretty much, but he quit anyway.
Right.
And now he's keeping the shirt.
Right. And now you're $210 in. And now you really can't quit, Hawk, because you bought that guy's shirt.
Correct. Keith wanted nothing to do with the shirt, so he will not be running in tie-dye. Nor will he be running with me. He's going to pace something around 345, 4, whereas I'm pacing 5.
He's going to finish. He's going to finish, and you might die.
Yes, he's run a marathon before.
Uh-huh. All right, man. Time for me to find a new EP. Time for your wife to find a new husband. Time for your kids to find a new dad. Hawk, are you really sure this is worth $190?
I can't wait. I want to do it. I want to prove everyone wrong. I'm very excited. to get it done, and I'm very excited to come to work Monday with a medal around my neck.
That'll be awesome. Hey, you do that, and you can come in here, and you can say what you want. You can do what you want. Hell, you can host the whole freaking show for all I care, Hawk.
What's going to suck is when Keith finishes an hour before me and then doesn't wear a medal the next day because he's not as proud of his better accomplishment as I am of my weaker
accomplishment. It's not about him, Hawk. It's all about you. Listen, if you somehow can rise up and finish this thing without suffering internal damage or even dying, it's going to be about you. You can rock. Look, you're known for being a bag and doing baggy things. So bag it up, bro. If you finish that thing and you get over, you rock that medal.
Can I wear my running outfit on Monday?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Like I was gonna. It's no worse than any other outfit you wear every single day. And what, can I stop you? You were going to anyway. Why do you even ask?
I was being polite.
Well, why even ponder running? I was being polite. Bro, all right, best of luck. No matter what, I'll at least get one more day out of you. You'll be in Escondido tonight.
Why do you even ponder passing?
Running.
Why do you even ponder
running.
Passing? Why do you even ponder
running.
Passing? Why do you even ponder passing?
Running. All right, so we'll see. Hawk in the LA Marathon. And I know you've been listening, so I won't belabor the point. He's just not ready. He has not done the requisite road work. He stopped training. He got sick of it, but he won't quit. So his thing is, I'm just going to let it rip. I'm just showing up day of, and I'm going to grind it out, and I'm going to use my grit and my heart, and I'm going to find a way to get through it. He's been listening to Goggins nonstop. We'll see. We'll see. All right, when we return, more on the NCAA tournament. Wofford head coach Mike Young joining me at 40 past. Third hour is open, except that it's not. The third hour on Friday is always busy. I do want to talk Jungle Karma. I've got my own personal thoughts on Adam Hawk running, which I still want to get to. There, according to TMZ Sports, was a hoodie sighting in West Hollywood. Hoodie was out in West Hollywood. Bill Belichick. Cam Newton, get ready for the upcoming NFL season. By, among other things, putting aside some vices and other things that take away from his focus. All of that still ahead. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Go ahead, Alvy. Hit me up. Oklahoma, a 9. Is taking a 2x4 to Mississippi, an 8. 48-27 under 2 minutes to go in the first half. 48-27. Also, in the second half right now, Cincinnati, a 7, is up 37-31 on Iowa, a 10. Those two games in action. Oklahoma hammering Miss, 48-27. There's a bracket alert. 1-800-636-8686. Coming up next segment, we talk to Wofford head coach Mike Young. And Hitman Canadian tweets, Mr. Hawk, respectfully, would you like us to keep or shave the mustache? Signed, The Morticians. Man, the show is the show. Sometimes the show is the show. Even with the NCAA tournament coming on. A lot of you nucks are all about Hawk. Cincinnati 37, Iowa 35 now. Bearcats. And Kenya Martin ain't walking through that door. Neither is Nick Van Exel. Or Reuben Patterson. All right. Not everything yesterday was beautiful. Not everything yesterday was storybook. There was Fairleigh Dickinson and Gonzaga. And I said it before, I'll say it again right now. This is an FDU house. It is. It's also a Gonzaga house. So you can imagine before that game how conflicted I was going into it. The Knights were in deep. We knew this. The Knights were in deep. Very, very deep. We knew this. But they did have that magic against Prairie View A&M. And all season long, they had lived by the mantra of their head coach. And now jungle legend, Greg Horrenda. You will forever be judged by what you're not supposed to do. They were not supposed to beat Gonzaga. But then again, they were not supposed to win their conference. They were not supposed to reach the NCAA tournament. They were not supposed to win in the NCAA tournament. So, what's another challenge like facing Gonzaga? especially a Zags team that looked out of sorts against St. Mary's the last time they stepped on the floor. I mean, who cares that Gonzaga went 30-3 coming into the tournament? Who cares if Gonzaga is the only team in the country to beat a full-strength Duke? They just did not look like themselves in the conference tournament, and FDU was on a roll. So the Knights had a chance, right? No. No, they did not. Gonzaga led by 10 inside of 4.5 minutes. They led by 20 inside of 10.5 minutes. Then they went on a 19-0 run to end the first half, and they led by 36 at halftime. Man, it was cold-blooded. And it was clinical, and it was merciless.
Randle will reset. Oh, what a feed. Rui to Clark for the jam. Timeout FDU. Rebound to Clark. Tilly cuts. Oh!
One dunk after another, and when FDU could get to the bucket, let's just say the results were less than optimum.
And oh! Hachimura with the block.
That was tough. That was tough. In fact, just ask Greg Horrenda, quote, "I don't know who in America could have played Gonzaga and beat them tonight," end quote. I'd have to agree. The Zags, methodically and professionally, choked out an underdog in the most ruthlessly efficient way possible. And they reminded everybody why they had the best offense in the country all year long. The only reason they did not get to triple digits is because they didn't want to get to triple digits. And it's a reminder yet again of how far that program has come. Gonzaga is no longer the gritty upstart, the program with a dream, the underdog that everybody roots for. They're now in the business of crushing underdogs. They aren't the dreamers. They're the dream killers. And they snuffed out that dream quickly yesterday. But even in the face of a brutal defeat, FDU was still FDU. And Greg Horrenda was still Greg Horrenda. He made sure to get Nadi Passerian, a senior who had missed the last 30 games with an injury. He got him into the game, and he got him his moment.
Counted and one for Nadi Passerian. You have to understand how excited they are. About this kid's been hurt the whole year. He just got back like last week. Hadn't played, and now he comes in the NCAA tournament game and gets an M. That's why everybody's so happy for him. Look at Greg Arenda's reaction here.
That is awesome.
Look at this.
Goes right to his coach.
The whole place.
Man, that is so awesome. That is so awesome. And that's why the tournament's awesome. I hope you saw that video. This guy misses like the last 30 games. In a blowout, gets a layup and runs around the floor and goes right to his coach, and they hug it out. It was so great. It's because of moments like that and quotes like this. Tonight, our trainer said it would be safe for him to play. His back was really, he couldn't travel. You guys know when you have a bad back, you can't do anything. And how that ball bounced to him and how he lumbered to the basket. And then I'm mad at him. I said, "Naughty, I need 50. That was the second goal, to get to 50, and he's got 49 on the foul line. But he was, I don't think he knew where he was. Nadi Passerian, man, he is going to be a very successful person. Write that name down. He's a business major and a beautiful person, and if he sits down for an interview, he's got the job. Trust me," end quote. Man, that's a beautiful quote. That's a beautiful team. I came to praise FDU, not to bury them. They were awesome. Greg Horrenda, Darnell Edge, Jahlil Jenkins, Mike Holloway Jr. Those are names that will go down in FDU history. They did what had never been done before. And FDU fans, you better celebrate that team when they come home. And when you do, to quote my man Greg Horrenda and his mom, you better ring the doorbell with your elbows because you better be coming with something in your hands. They brought more than just themselves to that party. It was great. Nothing to be ashamed of. Everything to be proud of. And that's why that's still the best sporting event in the world. Because of teams like that, players like that, coaches like that, and moments like that. And even after a blowout, this is still a big FDU house. Especially after a blowout like that. When we come back, Wofford head coach Mike Young. Don't go anywhere. Phone lines are open. Man, pick up the phone. Step your game up. Get in here.
Step your game up.
Elevate this thing. Or just sit back and do what you always do. Let me do all the heavy lifting. Time for a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Quick reminder, catch every game, every shot, every second of March Madness today through Sunday on CBS and the Turner Networks. Coverage beginning each day at noon Eastern on CBS. Mike Young is the head coach at Wofford. He joins us momentarily. At WR Hammond 9 tweets, Hawk about to go full gym fix. Hawk, I know you don't know who that is. I'll reset that momentarily. We're talking tournament action, though, all day long. We are joined now by the head basketball coach at Wofford. 17th season as head coach. Sporting News, National Coach of the Year this season. Southern Conference Coach of the Year, four times in the last decade alone. He led Wofford to their first NCAA tournament win in school history yesterday. It was a big one. Another enormous opportunity coming up tomorrow. They take on Kentucky, 2:40 p.m. on CBS. Mike Young is the head coach of Wofford. Mike, great to have you back. Congrats. Nice to have you on. How are you?
Jim, I'm awesome. My team is playing again tomorrow. I get a chance to go over and practice here in just a minute. We won our 30th game of the year. So much fun, and thankful for the opportunity.
My man, it's great. I'm so happy for you. You know, when you and I spoke last month, we talked about the very good feeling you had about this team and what it might do, that it might do something special. Then you go out and you beat Seton Hall 84-68, the first NCAA tournament win in school history. I know you feel great. How special was that moment, and what was it like to celebrate with your fans and your team?
The best. I mean, the ultimate. You know, we were up, I think, 10 at the half. We had done a really nice job with the special player, Miles Powell. We knew they would come back. They did. They took the lead in the second half. But as this team has done so many times throughout the course of the season, they just hang in there and keep chipping away at it. And then you know, the sky opens, and Fletcher McGee got a couple down. Nathan Hoover hit a couple of huge shots for us. We defended at a high level and found a way to get out of there with an enormous win. It's hard to win in that thing, Jim. I mean, you're playing really good people, and, you know, not a lot of familiarity a lot of times. We knew nothing about Seton Hall, to be frank, when, you know, selection show came around on Sunday. But a special night for our team, our program, our city, and couldn't be more happy.
Mike, it is hard to win in that thing. It's the hardest thing in the world to win in that thing. And as you mentioned, you were up at 10 at halftime, but then Seton Hall went on their run. They took a lead with under 8 minutes to go, but there was absolutely no sign of panic among your guys. What's that say about your team?
Well, I think it says, you know, the poise and you know, toughness that they continue to show. And I think that is a reflection of, you know, having players in all classes, you know, the three seniors, and Hoover's in the junior class. Storm Murphy's played a lot of basketball here as a sophomore. Never one time in that environment, on that platform, was there ever a look in their eye like, we got a problem here. It was, you know, next play, what's next? You know, let's string together a couple of stops. We know we're going to score. That's never been an issue with this team. We're going to score enough to win. Can we defend and rebound? And we did that when it mattered most, and, you know, helped us win another game.
Wofford advances. Their head coach, Mike Young, is my guest. Fletcher McGee had 7 threes yesterday. He broke the career record. I'll get to that, Mike, in one moment. But as you've said before, quote, he can shoot the snot out of it. How big were his threes in the final 8 minutes?
Oh, gosh. And I know Coach Willard, who's a terrific coach. I know he's just sick. They've done a nice job with him. They went to their matchup, and they were really marking him. They would stay with him as he would cut along the baseline or cut over the top. And, you know, we just ran something we haven't run in a while. We got him behind the screen. He buried one. And that kind of ignited several things spun off of that. And then, I've seen it so many times throughout his career. He gets off screens better. A remarkable player. You have a guy like that, I mean, you can do a lot of neat things with it. It's not that hard. He's a special man.
We're talking to Mike Young. Mike, it was not just Fletcher either. You mentioned Willard, Kevin Willard. He also was hyping Cameron Jackson before that game, and Jackson went off for 14 points and 10 rebounds. Willard said after the game, Mike, and I quote, "My biggest fear came true was that Jackson was going to take over the game. I thought the biggest difference in the game was A, we turned the ball over. B, early in the game, he settled them down. He got them going," end quote. How significant, in your opinion, was Jackson's role, especially in that first half, Mike?
Well, Jim, I mean, he's a terrific player. I think I told you the last time we talked, he can play anywhere. He can play anywhere in the country. He wouldn't be Kentucky's best frontline player, but he would help them win games. He's big as a house. He's got great hands, a terrific passer. And when we can play through him, and if you play him one-on-one, that's going to be really hard for you. They doubled him last night. The rotation's bad. We throw the ball to the basket, and we get a dunk. We do run so much through him because of his skill and ability to score pass and handle the ball. And you'll see much the same stuff tomorrow. I hope we have some luck with it.
Mike, one more thought about him. There's a great, great story about Jackson from a while back. He had put himself in a position to graduate early, and there were going to be big programs that would love to bring him in as a graduate transfer. So you drove 7 hours from campus to his home to make your pitch to keep him. How'd that conversation go? What did you say?
Yeah, it's a great story. I did. In this day and age, you've got to recruit your own at times. And it was after his sophomore year, you're kind of looking into the, into the future a little bit. And, he's going to be a coveted guy. Some of these guys, Jim, it's embarrassing. They have lists of kids that have redshirted during their careers in hopes that they may graduate and, leave and play 1 year another place. So getting out in front of that, I did. I made that drive. I'm from Virginia. He's in Winchester in the eastern part of the state. And drove up there, sat down with him. We had a bite to eat together. And early in the conversation, I started going down that road, and he stopped me. And he said, wait a second. Are you telling me you drove all the way up here to have this conversation? I said, well, yeah, you're kind of important to me there, big fella. And he said, well, you just wasted a lot of time. I would never even entertain the thought, I'm not going anywhere. You're stuck with me. And I got back in my car, and I drove another 7 hours back home, and he never blinked. And never one time did I ever hear anything about the possibility of him being shopped around. And just the kind of person he is. He's really smart, really, really a smart person, a great student. And, he loves his experience at Wofford.
Mike, that is a great story. That is a great story. Mike Young is the head coach at Wofford. He joins us for a few more moments. So now you're going to face Kentucky tomorrow. Before we talk about that matchup, you have never been afraid to take on huge programs. But what's it mean to hear Wofford versus Kentucky in the NCAA tournament for the right to go to the Sweet 16? How's that sound?
I've pinched myself a couple of times here. Are you kidding me? Wofford versus the University of Kentucky, national television. Coach Cal, T.J. Washington, I hope he plays. I hate seeing kids get hurt. The history and tradition of that program, and for our boys strap it up and go compete against them tomorrow is a dreamlike stuff. And we've got our hands full. It's Kentucky. They're really good. But we look forward to it. I know my boys will fight like dogs and try to put ourselves in position to win another one.
All right, so you had the chance to see Kentucky walk onto the practice floor the other day. What do you make of what you saw, and what jumps out to you the most about Kentucky?
Yeah, I quickly turned around and walked back out, hoping that my eyes were playing tricks on me. I've never seen, we played North Carolina earlier. Coach Williams was kind enough to come to Spartanburg, and they're just enormous. But their front line and any of their guards are just big men. And, you know, I mean, they're good basketball players, really skilled. I just struck by their sheer size and how well they move, and it'll be a challenge.
Yeah, Mike, one last thought about Fletcher before I let you go, and I really appreciate your time. During that game, I mean, you're focused on the game, but you've had a little bit of time right now. What's it mean to see him set that NCAA record for threes and to do it on that big of a stage?
I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for, you know, what he's accomplished at our place. Jim, I continue to go back to, you know, the record's great, but the sweat equity and the work that young man has put in during his time here is uncommon. You don't see guys work like he does to get better every day. Every day. And, you know, to see that rewarded doesn't always happen. But this didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen because he wanted it to. It happened because he worked his tail off. And, you know, he's reaping those benefits and rewards now.
I'd like to reiterate, Mike, you've been the head coach there 17 years. You've been at that school 30 years, and now Wofford's got an NCAA tournament victory under their belt and a great, great opportunity going up against Kentucky tomorrow on CBS. Mike, congrats. Really great of you to come on and share your thoughts on that. Good luck tomorrow, and it's great to talk to you again, Mike.
Jim, I really appreciate you having me on. I love your show, and I wish you well.
I wish you well, Mike. I love talking to you. That was a lot of fun. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. What a great story that is. This is why he keeps... Well, that rapping's a tough game, dog. This is why this is the best event in sports. It's so great to hear somebody like that. He's the coach of the year, the sporting news coach of the year. He is the Southern Conference coach of the year four times in the last decade. And he says, man... You have any idea? Like, I got to pinch myself. We're going up against Kentucky and Coach Cal. 30 years at that program, and that was their first NCAA tournament win. 17 years as a head coach. So now you know. If you didn't know before, now you know. Now you know about Wofford, and you should know. We've already had him on, and we've had McGee on, and now you know what you're watching when you see them go up against Kentucky. All right, checking out the action, early action, Texas Tech and Northern Kentucky. Both of those coaches have been on the program. 10-10, first half, 12-10 now, Texas Tech. That's a 14-3. Second half, 7-10 matchup, Cincinnati 59, Iowa 55. And Oklahoma is up. Ole Miss has cut it now to 13, 53-40. Early in the second half. Bracket alert. Northern Kentucky up on Texas Tech 13-12. Northern Kentucky is the 14. You can turn the alert off. It's Tech now up by one. All right, so we're tracking it. Third hour's open. ATP, week that was. I'll be in Escondido tonight. One more hour. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. I've got thoughts on Hawk running in the LA Marathon and the Hood. Bill Belichick was in West Hollywood. All of that coming up in Hour 3.